This morning's message is titled, The Free Speech of the Lord's Bondservant. The Free Speech of the Lord's Bondservant. Now, I used this title a bunch of years ago, but it has been greatly revised. So it's essentially a new engine on an old body. In fact, this morning's message really is going to feel like two messages. But if it turns out as I have planned and as I have prayed, you will see the connection. And then you'll realize that it really is only one message. So we're talking about the free speech of the Lord's bondservant. And I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. And while you're turning there, as you know, this month we're talking about liberty and love. We're talking about the freedom that we have in Christ and how that translates into how we conduct ourselves each day, and specifically how it affects our love impact on others. So Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. And we read, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. I like the message version and how it just cuts to the chase. It just says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. So we're talking about the free speech of the Lord's bondservant. Hear a lot about freedom of speech. It means you should be able to say whatever you want to say, except legally you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. But the free speech of the Lord's bondservant is not saying anything we want to say. The free speech of the Lord's bondservant has guidelines. And Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 is just one of those places where those guidelines are clearly spelled out. But as I said, this is going to sound like two messages instead of just one. So instead of progressing on Ephesians 4, 29, I'm going to give the part of that message that sounds like it's a different message now, but it's really not. So stay with me. I read last week, or I would have read last week had we met, the piece that I wrote for Friday, not this past Friday, but the Friday before that, on life. Because we've been studying in 1 John what it means that Jesus is the life. What does that mean? That He doesn't just give us life, but that He is life. And ever since we talked about that a couple Thursdays ago as we began our study in 1 John, it has been a holy haunting to me. It has haunted me with grace and glory, and I've been just majestically inspired by the thought that Jesus is the life and that Jesus is our life. And so I wrote the Just a Moment piece that I write each Friday a couple weeks ago, and I wrote these words: the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So John is giving a personification of life. And he said that life appeared to us, and we proclaim it to you. So Jesus does not only give us eternal life, he is the eternal life. He himself, his person, working in union with the Holy Spirit, he is the source of our spiritual awareness. He's the source of our spiritual vitality. And because Christ is our life, we don't need to get a life, as they say. We don't need to get a life. We always have a life. And what a life he is. What a life he is. He's bigger than boundaries and barriers. Whether we live in America, a developing country, or whether we're in prison, no matter where we are, no matter what may be our age, our sex, or our race, the life he is in us keeps getting bigger and more fascinating and glorious, bigger than the present, bigger than the past, no matter what's happened or what is happening or what's going to happen. His presence in us will provide perspective, will provide support, will provide hope no matter what is going on or what's going to go on. He is bigger than any schemes, bigger than any plots of men or of demons. He is a life not defined by mistakes or missteps, but by amazing grace. When our reference point is Christ, we are neither shackled by shame nor cowered by condemnation. He is a life not confined to any feeling or any mood. It doesn't matter how you feel when you wake up in the morning or what kind of mood you're in, what you ate for dinner last night. He's greater than all of our celebrations and more powerful than all our worries. Feelings and moods go up and down, but he remains constant. He remains steady and unfazed. He is a life that is omnipotent, immutable, and invincible. No one can shrink it. No one can sink it. No one can steal it. And he's the life that lives in us forever. So we can pray, Lord, you are my life. You are my life today. And you are the life I most want to experience and enjoy today. Life has a lot of features, a lot of gadgets, a lot of working parts, a lot of things that I'm interested in, a lot of things that grab my fascination, a lot of things that grab my heart and my emotions. A lot of things I just simply like to do, and other stuff that I need to do. Life is filled with stuff, Lord, but today you are the life I most want to enjoy today. You are the life. And then behold, for he is the life that is full of wonders, great and small. That's what I wrote. And I added a few pieces to it. But wait, there's still more. Just like those late night commercials. But wait, there's still more. There is. Brother Clinton, who's not here this morning, his response to this as he and I conversed about it, he calls him a life of supernatural bliss and peace. That's what Clinton says he is. He's a supernatural life of bliss and peace. Don Broadnax, in our Bible study, he said he's a life of joy worth more than anything I possess. And just to make sure we heard him, he said it again in Sunday school this morning. twice. Sister Harrietta, Mother Harrietta, she said, a life that makes me sensitive to doing the right thing. Laverne said, he's a life of love, because God is love. Brother Jim says, he's a life of strange all rightness, of a peace that passes all human understanding. And of this life, the scripture says, there's still more than that. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would know him even better. I pray that you would know him better, that God would give you a spirit of knowledge of him and the revelation of him so that you may know him better. Ephesians 1:17. And you know, it's that better that drives me every day. It's the better. That word, that one little word is what drives me. You want to know what is at the core of my spiritual energy and vitality and aspiration and hope and prayer and what makes me pace back and forth and what gets me excited and why this is not a duty? Why spending the time with the Lord is not a spiritual discipline or a concept or a ritual? Why is it? It's because of that better. I want you to know him. I know him. But you mean there's more? I'll take it. Bobby was laughing. He sent me a text of something that I had written a couple years ago. He said, I just remembered this because I'd written it in my journal. He said, you know, you said that you're not trying to be spiritual. You're just greedy. I am. I am greedy. It is not trying to be spiritual that drives me to Christ. It's the better. All that stuff that I just read. Yeah. There's better than that. It gets better. He's better than that. He's bigger than that. Yeah. And with all that Paul knew about him, he said, I want the better. Yeah. I want better. What do I want out of life? Better.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
We could go on and on. We could go on and on. But because he is our life. He is our life. Our life consists of all that he is. That's what it means. Everything that he is, that is our life. And who wouldn't want better? Who wouldn't want better? I want better. We all want better. Want a better job. Some of us want a better face. Some of us want a better size. Sometimes we want better kids. We all want better. But here we are invited to know him better. We could go on and on, but we haven't even really scratched the surface of the life we've been given. No matter what I say, no matter how long I talk, so I'm not going to keep on talking about it. Because no matter how long I talk, there's still more. I won't even go into what our elders and ministry leaders shared at our monthly leaders meeting yesterday. Well, we'd really be here for a while. But everybody was infected and infectious with this whole idea of the fascination of him being bigger and better in our lives. Michael and I were talking as we were going from the kitchen back into the room where we meet for our meeting. We've gone in the kitchen to do whatever we do in the kitchen, and we're heading back, and we were talking about, you know, we're not young men anymore. We're not old, old. We're not like that next strata of old, but we're not 20 something or 30 something anymore. And Michael was saying, you know, I'm 68, 69. See, he's gotten a year older since yesterday. We're getting older. And he said, and you know what? What's happening in my relationship with the Lord is it's amazing. What I'm experiencing in him, what he's teaching me, how he's changing me. He just gets bigger. He just gets better. So here's the net. Because he's our life, we are set for life. You know, people say, I'm set for life. You're set for life. Because he is our life. Because of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I walk around and I feel this. I feel like I'm set for life. I feel like I've got it made. I'm good. And it doesn't matter what the future dictates. I have him. I have a life. I have the life. And what a life he is. And so I'm not worried about what might happen. Because no matter where I'm going, he's already there. You see? And not only is he already there, he's inside of me, going with me as I'm moving there. So he is both the destination and the journey. I can't wrap my mind around all of that. I don't know about you, but that's big stuff. That's enough to keep me occupied for the rest of my life down here and throughout eternity. So I'm not smug about it. I'm humbled. I'm humbled by the Lord's grace. And I am numb with gratitude. Now, if this doesn't evoke an amen in your soul somewhere, do like this. Or like this. Check your pulse. I'm not talking about you got to yell it out or anything. You don't have to say amen. But if something inside of you is not moved and inspired by the truth of him being the life and what that means and that he's in you, if that doesn't make you go, whoa, I want to hear more, or I want some of that, or whatever it is, check your pulse. I pray for all of us. I pray for me. I pray for our church. And you know what I pray? I pray, Lord, I want our church to be a place of next level intimacy with you. Because no matter where we are, there's that next level. There's better. And no matter how long all of us, or any of us, or each of us has known the Lord, no matter what we've experienced in him, no matter how much Bible we know, no matter how many times you've heard Pastor Dan stand here and speak about these things, there's better. There's better. So I pray, Lord, let this be a place of next level intimacy that encourages and supports all of us in our next level intimacy with you as we discover the life that we have in you. So what are we to do? What are we to do with this life that we've been given? This gift, this big, dynamic, amazing, eternal gift of life that we've been given. We've been freed from a life that's confined to the natural human experience. That's where we used to be. It's called darkness. It's called prison. It's called captivity. That's what the scripture calls it. Captivity, enslaved. So we've been liberated. We've been freed to a life that is beyond the natural human experience. So what are we to do with that? This is what the book of Galatians tells us. It says, you, my brothers, you were called to be free. You were called into this bigger life, this bigger experience of your Creator. You've been called to be free. But do not use your freedom. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. But rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here we have this picture of God bestowing upon us a life that is beyond description, a life that is beyond imagination, a life that would take us all of eternity to describe, let alone experience. And he says, you've been called to be free. You've been called into this otherworldly experience that begins here on earth. But don't turn that experience into a covering for evil. Through love, serve one another. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And that brings us back now to Ephesians 4:32, which I'll read again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So against the backdrop, brothers and sisters, against the backdrop of the glorious life we have in Christ that we were talking about a few moments ago and for quite a while, against that backdrop, these verses feel different. Against that backdrop, they don't feel quite as oppressive. We feel more inspired. We have more energy. We don't feel like we're just being told something. We feel like you are the recipient of something grand. You've been giving something glorious. Now, here's where you direct it. Here's where you direct that excitement about what you've got. Here's where you direct those wonderful amens that are coming out of you. Give it from a place of amen. Don't give it from a place of got to. Oh, the Lord wants us to give it from a place of amen, brothers and sisters. Everything you do for him, he wants it to come from a place of amen. You were called to be free, says Galatians. You're not obligated. If you're free, you're not obligated, right? Amen. So don't do it like God is putting it on you, obligating you. You've been set free. But if you are really free and you are really effusive in your praise and you are really excited about that life that you've got that you can't explain and can't describe and can't contain, if you're really excited about that, here's where you direct it. Here's where you direct it. This is where you turn your sights. Isn't that a different motivation? Isn't that a different experience than God's going to get me, or I too, or I better? Oh, Lord. You've been called to be free. Against that backdrop of the glorious life we have in Christ, it feels different, not so daunting. And it's that way about everything the scripture instructs us to do. And that's why getting to know Christ better is always our primary focus, because it lubricates the gears of our love. We need reminding more than we need instructing. And this morning's message is a reminder. And it's intended not so much to teach us something new, but in the same way that a football coach makes a halftime adjustment by making a particular aspect of the game a point of focus, that's how we want to look at this. Sometimes that adjustment is the difference between winning and losing. So as we look back here at our verse, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful. That's all I want to say. That's it. If you've got what I just said, that's enough. If you've got what I've, if you've heard me this morning, what you've heard is enough. I looked at the rest of what I had to say, and I don't want to say it. I don't think I need to say it. I think you've heard enough. And I think the Lord just said, "Whoa, boy! What you saw up there was what you saw up here was the horse going like this." And the Lord said, "Whoa, boy, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough." I hope you heard me. I hope that the Lord takes what you heard and makes it a reality in your experience with Him. And if it's not a reality, if it didn't resonate with you, I pray that you will take it and talk to the Lord, who's a much better communicator than me. And He may be able to shed some light where it was a little fuzzy from me. He might be able to shed some light where it might have been a little dark from me. But I have said enough. And that's all I'm going to say. And I'm done.